Welcome back for another OG Show Live. Mr. Randall, how you doing?
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Reel Down.
Welcome back to another episode of Bass Fishing for News.
Hi, boys and girls. Welcome to, once again, Bass Kayak Appears.
Brother! This is the final cast.
Another segment of Chasing the Tide, your saltwater connection on the Paddler Fin.
Welcome back, everyone. Another episode of Feather and Fur, your host,
Brad. Welcome back to the Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Crystal.
Hey, welcome back to Off the Water.
Happy Susie Q here with Adventures of Outdoor Woman Podcast.
Hey, guys. Welcome to the Rusty Hook Kayak Fishing Podcast.
We're brought to you by Pelican Built Tough. For all situations, go to pelican.com. Eastport Marina on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake. For all your lodging, kayaking, go to eastport.info. Yak Gadget. For all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com.
All right, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of Mindset Podcast. Doing it a little later this time, so I'm going to apologize now in case you hear the kids in the background, just a little bit. But today we have a special guest of Jake. How you doing today, man?
Hey, man, how's it going? I appreciate you having me on.
Doing good, man. It's been about 2 months coming.
Man. Nice.
Yeah, we've been trying to do this, so...
Yeah, we've been super busy. I was super busy with my tournament schedule and just trying to line everything up. So finally, the tournament season's finally slowing down here in the north.
Yeah.
It's pretty much over for most of us northeast guys. So finally, we can kind of take a deep breath and prepare and get ready for next
winter.
Season.
Well, prepare for winter, too. That's always the worst.
Yeah, that, too.
So if you just want to, we'll start the show just by you telling everybody just a little bit about yourself. For people who don't know.
Yeah, for sure. My name is Jake Stem. I grew up in the Poconos of Pennsylvania, born and raised, and been living here hunting and fishing my whole life. But more of a hunter growing up, I'd say, and, you know, did the casual trout fishing with my dad and, you know, occasional bass fishing. But then came around college time, I started venturing into bass fishing, ended up starting my own college team at a local Kutztown University here in Pennsylvania. And that's kind of when the spark flew, and then started doing co-angling stuff on the bass boat scene, and then got a kayak last spring. And then ever since then, it's kayak fishing to the moon. It's nuts.
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Do you think it's just is it a better point of entry as far as pricing and everything?
I definitely agree with that. Me not knowing, so I fish a lot of local club stuff as a co-angler, and like I'd be firsting, you know, 10 guys, and we would travel. So I live in Pennsylvania. If you guys don't know, it's kind of like Ohio, and the fishing isn't great here. So you know, a 2-pounder's decent here, a 3-pounder's giant. So I travel a lot.
Same out here in Illinois.
You know the deal. So
yeah.
I have Cayuga Lake about 3.5 hours from me. So, you know, we'd have a lot of tournaments up there, just traveling. And for 7 co-anglers, it wasn't worth it. So then I switched to a little bit bigger league, the ABAs. And I definitely recommend doing that for a new angler, because I did the New York ABA. So we went to like Champlain, Cayuga, Oneida, and you get these amazing fisheries. And I was able to learn a ton from these boaters. But then after about 2 years of that, I went down and fished the national championship on Lake Hartwell, got to experience spotted bass. But I kind of got tired of, you know, guys, you know, you can only go at the mercy of the boater. So I, my buddy got a pedal drive kayak, and then I tried it and was like, oh, I want to get one. And then I started searching tournaments wise. And then I was like, wow, it is huge. And it's grown even tremendously in the last 2 years. So that's kind of, you know, I can make my own decisions, but also the money aspect, the amount of return on investment, the amount of money you're putting into your tournaments, traveling costs. I car top mine on a Subaru, and I get really good gas mileage still. So for me to travel, I went to Maine, Vermont, New Hampshire this year. I fished elite kayak fishing as well as my local trails, and just the amount of money I would put in. And there'd be about 50 to 80 kayak anglers, and you're fishing for like $2,000. So for out of a plastic boat, you really can't complain with that. Where, you know, as a bass boat guy, you got to tow it and gas and practice and all that. It's like, it's tough with, you know, the way everything costs nowadays. I really think kayak is the way to go. But again, like I said, the co-angling stuff is great. I mean, it's a great way to learn. If it wasn't for that, I'd be, you know, way behind. But between co-angling and, you know, YouTube, that's how I got learned a lot as well, is learning how to do that and then go out and trying it myself. But to take that and then go into the kayak scene, I definitely think is great for money wise. And I just love the kayak scene. The kayak guys are just, it's like a family. I mean, I'm sure, you know, your kayak guys out there, they're just, it, compared to the bass boat world, like everyone's at their throats type deal.
That's true. Because even as a co-angler, like you get that same feeling of at your throat, because it's like when I was co-angling, it's the guy with the way ours was set up, was even the boat, the boater and the non-boater were still versing each other.
Okay. I did that once before. That was like,
it's very hard, because it's like you guys practice together, you guys come out with a game plan together, but then come tournament day, it's no help. You can't help each other at the end of the day, because it's like, well, if I help you catch this fish, then I'm screwing myself out of points.
Yeah. And they get first cast at things. Like, that's the thing. You know, I met a lot of great boaters in my years. I have friends still that are boaters, but you get the occasional bad boater where it's like, it stinks, or you fish, you end up fishing a dock fishing tournament and you get back boated, and then you can't get any good casts, where, you know, sometimes you can catch a few random fish here and there if you're on like a grass edge line or whatever, but still it's so tough to fish sometimes when you're a co-angler, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a little bit history about yourself, but, so what does, I know you said you had a lot of views on mindset. So what does mindset mean to you when it comes to fishing?
I mean, mindset is just everything. It's just, now that I've been traveling around, like I said, I fished up the elite kayak fishing. So I traveled to Maine. We did Champlain. We did Messalonskee. We did some partnered up with KBF, and just, you know, it takes a lot out on someone. Like, I ended up fishing 17 tournaments this season, which was my first legit kayak season. And don't get me wrong, I run my own local league, Slay Nation PA Kayak Series. I'm the director for that. Love that. Love directing. Love, you know, growing locally. But by the end of it, like, our championship was on Champlain, and mindset for that tournament was everything. You know, you hear Champlain, you think of amazing fishery. By the end of it, if you had a limit both days of 60 inches, you were like top five. It was fishing super tough. We were fishing the bottom half of the lake, so Ticonderoga area. And I practiced two full days, and I caught like two fish each day. And in tournament days, I ended up catching one and losing one both days. I tried smallmouth and largemouth, but then there was guys that zeroed on day one, and then they randomly went to a different spot day two, and they caught 88 inches, 90 inches. So it was just super tough. There was guys with live scope, you know, out chasing smallmouth in 100 foot, but then there was guys doing the same thing that weren't catching. And then there was guys catching 90 inches of largemouth on a frog. So I was honestly so mentally drained after that event. It was just, you know, fishing that many tournaments. So you definitely have to make sure that you keep your mindset, you know, take some time for yourself, realize that, you know, you're just fishing, you know, tournaments are tournaments, you know, you want to go for the fun of it, but also, you know, win a couple $100, get some cash. And but mindset, definitely just taking your time and kind of just, you know, remember at the end of the day, it's just a beautiful lake you're on, and just enjoy life out there on the water, for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of what everybody says, but it definitely is everything. It's probably 80% of what we do when we're out there on the water, especially it's a sport where you're by yourself most of the day. It's like, it's a single person sport, and you're out there for 8-9 hours. And, you know, you deal with the weather, you deal with everything else. You don't have a teammate to take over when you suck, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, it's definitely a battle of the mind, and then you gotta find the fish to catch it.
Yeah, and there's tournaments that go really well. Like last year, I won the Ike Foundation kayak tournament on a local lake here in Pennsylvania, and that was a great tournament. I had really good practice going into it. I practiced about a week before, and then I practiced a couple days before, and it was the most nervous I'd ever been for a tournament, because going into it, I had such a good practice. And There ended up being 90 guys there, and the lake really doesn't hold 90 guys well, let alone the, you know, the casual, the sailboaters, pleasure boaters. It's only like a 25 or 20 horsepower max lake, so you don't get, you know, huge bass boats, but you get the guys that still come out in the trolling motors and stuff. And going into that, like, I didn't sleep that night. I got to the ramp like 2 hours early. I was just like so nervous. And I just try to stay calm, keep that clean mindset. And I ended up catching a limit by like 7 a.m. And second place was 4 fish by the end of the tournament. The sun, the wind picked up. Like I said, the casual boaters and kayakers came out, and the area I was in was pretty much hidden from all of that. So I ended up upgrading and stuff still, but I had a limit by like 7:30, and lo and behold, I ended up winning it. But that mindset was everything. Just trying to stay calm, not, you know, let a fish flop off or, you know, get a good hook set, and just making sure you stay calm is really key in tournaments, whether you're going into it really confident or, you know, you just, you had a bad practice and you go wing it and you end up winning it that way too. Like, there's so many different ways just to always, keep your mind steady and just try to stay calm while you're out there on the water.
Yeah, I get that, man. It's so that tournament, did you end up winning anything this year?
I won a couple local events with the club I run, Slay Nation. I won AOI for that, nice. Which was pretty fun. I tied last year and lost to a tiebreaker, so it was a little bit of redemption there. I fished the Elite Kayak Fishing a series up in the Northeast. If you guys are in the Northeast, awesome league. They fish prime fisheries. Like I said, we were on Champlain this year. We were on Messalonskee. We went to Winnipesaukee, which was my first time there. And a lot of these guys, if you guys, I don't know out by you, but almost all these guys have motors now and live scope. Usually double grass,
yeah,
live
motors,
scope. And,
motors.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Thing,
I have a... I have an Old Town Topwater 120, which is like the older model of the Sportsman. So I have a pedal drive and I have a Garmin, but no live scope. And in the three events, it was best 3 out of 4 normal events. And then the championship, I was leading AOI after the first three, which was, I was pretty happy with competing with these guys. I mean, you got the best anglers in the Northeast. You got Derek Brundle, Ken Wood, John Fiera, you know, so many guys.
Yeah.
And Jake Angulus. And so I felt pretty happy. I ended up finishing, I think, 7th for the year, which Champlain was a bust for me. Like I said, everyone was struggling to get a limit so much. So I had a couple good finishes. The first event, I got 7th out of 76, and that was paired with KBF. So it was 7th out of 76 with KBF, and then 8th out of, like, 84 or something with Elite Kayak Fishing. But that ended up being a bed fishing tournament, which – I had like 1 day of practice. I didn't even realize they were on beds. I just went randomly fun fishing. Like I said, no good confidence. Just I was like, you know what? This is where I think they're going to be. Took my head. We went with it. I threw a jerk bait and later found out it was like an underwater hump and they were betting on it. And I didn't realize that. I was just throwing a jerk bait. It was like, it was super crappy, cloudy, misty weather. And I caught 91 inches within like the first hour and a half. And I couldn't believe it. And I was like, this is awesome. And then by later in the day, the sun came out, the wind died. And then I realized guys are standing up looking. And I was like, okay. And then I was like, oh, they're on beds. Okay. So turns out that I most likely was catching bedfish. But I didn't realize that I was just having the time of my life on a jerkbait. So, yeah, I had a couple good finishes. Like I said, towards the end, this is my first full tournament year that I was going for. But I'm excited to definitely going to be fishing Elite Kayak Fishing again next season. And I'm going to be directing a brand new college series that's going to be hitting the kayak scene next year. So I'm super excited for that.
Oh, that's exciting, dude. So you said you got for your local league, you got Angler of the Year. How's that accomplishment help you going into next year?
I mean, it gives you just such good confidence. Like I said, PA doesn't have great fishing. We don't really need live scope. Most of our lakes aren't huge enough that you really need a motor. It's a lot of just, you know, going out and fun fishing. You can kind of fish however you want. Graphs, like, that was the thing too, is I have a graph, a 9-inch Garmin, which a lot of guys have, but I had no confidence in it. And, you know, I would mark fish, but I didn't know if they were panfish or whatever. But then I went up to New York and I went up to like Winnipesaukee. I went up there and practice day one, I went for largemouth because everyone said there's too much boat traffic. It's scary on the main lake. And I caught like a 3-pounder, but nothing good, nothing crazy. So then day two of practice, I said, you know what? I'm going to go try main lake. Everyone keeps saying it, but I'm going to go try it. And I go out and there's guys with motors and live scope. And I just ended up going on underwater humps and on my graph, use my graph, the Garmin, and would just float around, make random casts. But anytime I'd mark something, I'd drop on it. And then I started to realize, okay, any marks more than three were like 5 to 9, 5 to 6 inch smallmouth. Anytime I got three marks or less, they were like 16 to like almost 18 inch smallmouth. So my confidence went way up fishing a good fishery like that. Like the graph actually works. So it was huge confidence. Tournament day, I ended up finishing like, I think like top 15th. I think it was like 12th or 11th out of like 60, 70 guys. I mean, I was one fish away, you know, they were super stacked inches wise. A lot of people had the same exact length. And, but I was just floating, like I said, fan casting around. And anytime I'd mark, I'd drop down on a fish and then immediately you'd lift up. I was throwing a flatworm on a drop shot and just immediately you'd lift up and they'd be on there. So that gave me a ton of confidence electronics, which really, really gained my confidence extremely well. Because, like I said, here in PA, you mark fish and you drop on them and you never get bit. You don't know what they are. So it's hard to kind of learn. So to go to amazing fishery to actually learn how to use a graph was huge. So I'm looking to, you know, upgrade to live scope next season and take my 2D and mapping that I've learned last year and expand my knowledge into next season.
Yeah, that sounds awesome, man. So you said you're using mostly 2D versus the downscan. Does that help you a lot better then? As far as because I love drop shotting too. Mm-hmm. So for me, I've noticed that the 2D, I've had more confidence with 2D than a down scan or a side imaging. Do you feel that's the same for you?
For me, yeah. So the way I set up my graph is I usually have the mapping on a corner and I have the 2D on another corner, and then like the top portion is my side scan. And me and a couple buddies went up to Lake George this year, right before I went to Winnipesaukee. And Lake George in New York is a huge deep fishery. And we were supposed to have a tournament, but it got canceled. So we said, you know what, we're going to go up anyway and, you know, learn the lake. Why not? Who knows? We might have more tournaments on there, you know, next year or whatever. And we ended up learning. We were fishing about like 30 to 50 feet. And the 2D was great for marking the fish below you. We would just pedal around and then we would mark a school of bait and you'd see a fish under it and you drop a drop shot or an underspin or a little swim bait and you would just let it sink to the bottom, and as soon as you start reeling, they'd hit it. But I also liked that my side scan was up because we were in 50 foot of water, so your side scan actually goes really far out and I was able to see balls of bait to the left or right of me that weren't marking on my 2D. So I learned, that's how I really learned my electronics before I went to Winnipesaukee, is to have both. Because if you're in deep enough water, your side scan can actually pick up the bait balls just barely to left or right of you. But the 2D, I definitely like the 2D better than down view or whatever, the other one that you can use, just because, I don't know why, just confidence-wise, so far, that's what I've liked to use better.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I felt too with it, is that the 2D, I could just see the fish better. I could identify between grass and rock a little bit better on it than, say, a down scan or a side view. But I see where people like the 2D sonar, like, as like a beginner before they go into the down scan and everything else, because you can kind of see things better and you can see the different temperatures of things. And that kind of also helps you distinguish between grass or a school of fish, per se.
Yeah, but, for sure. And I feel like it's everything in moderation, like slowly build yourself up. Guys that, you know, just immediately go out and buy live scope because they have the money and don't realize, like, maybe you should learn 2D or side scan first.
Yeah.
To, you know, slowly build up to it. Because, like I said, I learned a bunch. Like on Winnipesaukee, I'd go on main lake points underwater in like 30 foot and you'd mark boulders, and all of a sudden right behind the boulder there'd be a single fish mark, and I would just toss the drop shot over my shoulder, let it sink down, and as soon as you lift up, boom, there was a fish. And my confidence deep fishing went through the roof. I mean, absolutely through the roof between Lake George and Winnipesaukee. My confidence for deep fishing is now I love it. I absolutely love deep fishing. I'm not afraid to get out there offshore. PA, there really isn't much offshore. Like I said, a lot of our lakes are, you know, shallow. They're grass. They can be muddy, can be clear. So, and like I said, you'll mark fish and you'll toss on them and you'll never get bit just because our lakes are super, super pressured. So to get to a lake like that, I highly suggest anyone that wants to get good with their electronics is, you know, either go to a private pond or something that maybe is deep enough that your electronics will work, that, you know, the fish are more likely to bite. But just to learn how to mark fish and actually get bit is huge confidence wise. You can be like, oh, and like I said, I started realizing anything over 2 or 3 marks were tiny smallmouth and it was guaranteed. I ended up doing it like 50 times between practice and tournament day where I wouldn't even cast at them. I would just cast the other way or wait till a big mark underneath me and immediately just drop down on the bigger smallmouth. And it helped me tremendously in the tournament.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, so we're 20 minutes into this. I know you mentioned that you're starting up a college thing for kayak fishing next year. Do you want to kind of go into that, give you a little time to talk about that?
So yeah, for
people
sure.
Can know about it and know where to sign up and everything like that.
Yeah, for sure. Slay Nation Tournament Fishing, if you guys haven't heard of them, they do John Boats, they do John Boat Series, and they do Kayak Series. We're in, I believe, almost 25 states, if not 25 states now. We have kayak divisions all over. There's Texas, PA, New York, all over. But we're actually going to be starting a college series. It's primarily going to be in the Northeast just because I'm located in the Northeast. And I'm going to become, I will be the director, but it's going to be kind of like when I was in college, I fished the FLW Bass Boat College Series when I started our team there. It's kind of going to be similar to that. There's going to be 4 tournaments, 3 normal season tournaments, and then a championship. But we're looking to do, we don't have the date set yet, but everything will be coming out on Slay Nation, their social medias and the website. But it's going to be, we're looking to do like Virginia, probably Smith Mountain Lake. And then we're looking to do Cayuga Lake in New York. We're contemplating maybe doing the Susquehanna River, but it's super tough to schedule a big tournament. And then if it floods out or anything like that. So we might, I don't know, we might pick a lake in PA. Don't know on that one yet. And then the championship we're going to do on Champlain. So we don't have the dates quite yet. They'll be coming out here in the next month or two. I'm talking with Hobie to make sure we don't conflict with them because they start a college series as well. But we just want to get these college kids, you know, out fishing competitively and earn some money. It's going to be everyone for themselves. You can be, as long as you're a college student, there's going to be an age range, probably like 18 to like 24, 25 normal, which is kind of what FLW has and any other college bass boat series. But as long as you can prove you're a college student, you can be at any community college, state college. It doesn't matter. As long as you're a college student, you can fish these events. We allow motors. We're going to allow motors with Slay Nation. We allow motors in our kayak series so you can have a motor. And yeah, we're going to do their single day tournaments, and they're going to be, I don't have exactly roughly the entry fee cost, but probably like 115-ish. And about 100 of that is going to be, probably 100 is going to be going into the pot just because of PayPal fees, Tourney X fees, everything like that. If you guys are kayak fishermen, you know that usually that has to go into when you enter for a tournament. But the goal is 100 bucks in the pot, probably like a couple, 10 bucks will go to the big bass. Again, we'll get all the numbers figured out. But pretty much if we get 50 to 100 kids fishing, you'll be fishing for first place probably like $2,000 as a college kid. So like I said, we'll have a set scale of, depending on exactly the number of people entering, how much, payout will be, but super excited with that. Frankie Provolone, as we call him, Frankie Provolone for Slay Nation. If you guys haven't heard of him, he was on the Ike Live, podcast years ago, but he runs Slay Nation and, we're going to be starting the college series. So, like I said, we're going to get more dates figured out, but we're most likely going to do Smith Mountain Lake, Cayuga, and Champlain. And then I got to figure out the last one. But Champlain will be the championship. Just get these kids on awesome fisheries and, you know, compete and get these college kids fishing for a lot of money to go towards books or whatever they want, more kayaks or bass boats, whatever the college kids want to spend it on. But I'm super excited. Like I said, as long as you're a college kid, so if you're listening and you got a nephew, a niece, brother, sister, uncle, whoever's in college, like I said, there'll be a slight age range, but as long as you can prove you're a college kid, you can come out and fish these. And we're looking to get as many college kids as we can out. There'll be minimum boat or kayak requirements just so safety wise, because they are a little bit bigger bodies of water. But pretty much everyone knows, you know, a basic kayak, you know, it's an 8-hour tournament. So we don't want anyone going out in like an 8-foot, 10-foot little kayak. And, you know, if there's wind or anything, like Cayuga is a finger lake, so wind can get nasty on there. So we want to make sure safety is priority. But we'll come out with all those. We're going to finalize all those rules here in the next couple of weeks and get it posted. But yeah, we're going to get all these college kids fishing. And I'm hoping that, you know, they're taking home a couple $1,000s. I mean, I think that would be absolutely awesome.
Yeah, that sounds good, dude. That sounds like an awesome program. And Frank's an awesome dude. I've talked to him plenty of times, been on a podcast with him, had him on here for plenty of podcasts. He's an awesome
Frankie's,
dude.
Frankie's the man. He's
a workaholic.
He works so hard. Yeah, he literally works so hard. We're gonna be designing jerseys for the college kids when they sign up. So they're gonna get some jerseys with all the sponsors that help out the college series. And like I said, we might do an AOI. I think we're gonna do an AOI. We're gonna get Z Pro, who sponsors Slay Nation, in on this. We're gonna try to do a ton of prizes for guys. So whether you cash a check or not, we're gonna try to get everyone walking away with some sort of thing. Like I said, we might try to do an AOI prize, do, you know, point system, basic AOI type deal, and reward the kids that try to fish all these events. But I'm super excited. Like I said, we'll finalize this in the next probably a couple of weeks. We definitely want to get everything finalized, dates by like December. That way kids can figure out. And if you are listening and you're a college kid, I'm going to try to schedule not during finals. I know that's huge for you guys. So we're going to try to not scheduled during your finals week, so you guys can make travel and make some of these tournaments and try to avoid that. Because when I fished in college, I know that was super tough trying to travel and compete if there was, you know, one of your weeks where you have a ton of tests, or right there in May when finals happen and people are graduating.
Yeah, man. Well, it's been about a half an hour. I just wanted to make sure you got that information out for the college kids. And it's been a good podcast, man. I definitely want to have you back on again right before your season gets started and right when you have all the college stuff officially done. But other than that, is there anything else, any sponsors or anything that you want to talk about?
Yeah, just thank you for having me on. Sponsors-wise, I work with Rabid Baits, if you guys haven't heard of them. They're everything's made right there in the USA. They're right on Vermont on Champlain. Check out Rabid Baits. I was working with them at the Classic. If you're going to the Classic, you'll see me there next year. I'll be working the booth. But Rabid Baits, Slay Nation, huge shout out to Slay Nation, Frankie, Sticks Fishing Rods. Let's see, P-Line. Oh, I'm going to start forgetting them. That's always so tough. Gamagatsu and Spro, I work with them. Super excited to be part of them. Toro Eyewear. Let's see, Omnia Fishing, they're awesome if you guys don't use them. Z Pro batteries, they're definitely stepping up their game. I love Z Pro batteries. I run a 30 amp outer on my grass for like 3 days straight, and then once I get that live scope, I'll be running that too. So I think that's pretty much it, though. I appreciate you having me on, and yeah, I'm excited for next tournament season. I'm getting prepped for ice fishing. Hunting season's in full swing, so. But I love me some ice fishing. I'm going to be doing that some more this year, and then get prepped for my long tournament season. I'll probably be doing again next year.
Yeah, that's good to hear, man. Yeah, it's been a great episode having you on. I appreciate it again, and look forward to having you on again, man.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional, For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures, your Midwest premier paddle sports destination. Go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs. When in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.